In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday, we saw the fruits of modernism, 90% losses to the church. And this is something which is not going to grow in strength because it's been at full strength for some time. Modernism itself was the fruit of three separate movements or errors in history. Its religious parent was the Protestant Revolution. Its philosophical parent was the Enlightenment philosophy. And its social parent was the French Revolution and Freemasonic socialism. So modernism is as Pius X called it, the synthesis of all heresies. And it's wreaked its destruction on the church. The question is now, what next? It doesn't have to get worse, but it may. The choice is up to us. We're at a crossroads. If we stand up and fight, we can beat it. We can get back to the church. If we sit quietly by and act as if business as usual, a worse heresy will ensue. I don't know what that could be, but that's how it goes. It's up to us. And by fight, I mean pray. Pray, do penance, fast, live our daily lives, our vocation as best we can, to act when God prompts us to act in whatever capacity that may be, kindness, patience, self-discipline, courage in everyday behavior. We're like spiritual athletes. We don't know when God is going to call us into the game, so we need to be ready at any moment. We don't want to fumble the ball when it comes to us. Spiritually, whatever that may be. So modernism arose at the end of the 19th century, and as I've mentioned, is a culmination of the Protestant Revolution, Enlightenment, French Revolution, that synthesis of all heresies. Pius IX saw it coming. Pius X defeated it in his time, but he knew it was going to come back. He said, I haven't actually defeated it. I've driven it underground. It will return at a later date. And it did at the Second Vatican Council, which we'll investigate in a following sermon. But essentially, modernism considers religion to be the result of a very deep feeling from within, welling up within man. God implanted in mankind a knowledge that he exists, a knowledge that man is meant to be united with God. And from this knowledge springs forth every religion, Catholicism, Buddhism, Protestantism, whatever. It's all the same thing because it's all from the same source. And so there's nothing specifically different from Catholicism than any other religion. This is what modernism holds. What it needs is an external object for the internal sentiment to hold on to. So for Buddhists, it's the great Buddha. For Catholics, it's Jesus Christ. You've got the historical Jesus, who is a man just like anybody else, and then onto this historical Jesus is projected all of the noblest sentiments of the Catholic Church over history. It's the Catholic Church which made the historical Jesus into the Jesus of religion. So what does modernism sound like? What are its principles? Pope Pius X in 1907 issued his encyclical Lamentabilis Sanis, in which he condemned 65 heretical propositions of the modernists. And these are the principles of modernism, which lead to, we could say, a semi-modernism, modernism soft, which is behind much of the standard line we've been hearing for the past 50, 60 years from American priests and bishops. Everybody's been infected by it in some way or another. So these condemned propositions of modernism by the church. Error number 9. Those who believe that God is really the author of the sacred scriptures display excessive simplicity or ignorance. As we know, God is the primary author of scripture through the instrumentality of the sacred writer. To the modernist, it's only the sacred writer, and he's not sacred. He's a man like anybody else. This is where they part of what the historical critical method is about, approaching the scriptures like any other secular document. Don't bring any idea of supernatural gift or ability to the writers. They're just like anybody else. Error number 11, divine inspiration does not extend to all of sacred scriptures so that each and every part is rendered free from error. Thus, the Bible can be mistaken because the writers aren't inspired by God. Hence, you have the belief that the Bible is against science. If science discovers one thing, but the Bible says something different, science is right. Error number 16, the narrations in the Gospel of John are not properly history, but a mystical contemplation. The discourses contained in his Gospel are theological meditations lacking historical truth. Such as the conversation between Pontius Pilate and Christ our Lord during the Passion. Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? You say I am a king. But I tell you my kingdom is not of this world. I came to testify to the truth, what is truth, and so on. The modernist says, that never happened. No one else was there. It was just Jesus and Pontius Pilate. The apostles weren't there. How could they have known? So this is written by the apostles as kind of a pious projection of what Christ would have said from based on the time they spent with him during his life on earth, the 3 years. They just projected a likely conversation. But we cannot in good conscience, as rational human beings, believe that what was written in John chapter 19 was the actual conversation between Jesus and Pilate. This is how modernism goes. Right? Now, the answer to this is that, even granted that's the case, Christ our Lord was with the apostles 40 days after his resurrection. Right? Plenty of time for some Q&A. But that leads to error number 36. The resurrection of the Savior is not properly an historical fact, but rather a religious fact, neither demonstrated nor demonstrable. And this is where the modernist is able to lie through his teeth to the faithful. Religious fact versus historical fact. It's an historical fact to the modernist that the bishops at Nicaea decided Jesus would be God, right? This is modernism. We have these wonderful feelings and sentiments which we project onto history. So the bishops at Nicaea decided that the historical Jesus would from now on be considered to be God. Is that a fact? Yes, the modernist tells you. Is Jesus God? Of course he is. It's a fact. Jesus is God. In the modernist mind, he's saying, well, it's a religious fact that Jesus is God. It's a religious fact that in Nicaea, the bishops decided that they were going to take this man, just like anybody else who wasn't God, and say that he was. It's not the modernist who's lying, it's the bishops at Nicaea. This is how they get around that, how they somehow explain things in their own minds. Error number 23, opposition may and actually does exist between the facts narrated in Scripture and the church's dogmas that rest on them. Thus, the critic may reject as false facts that the church holds as most certain. Again, the Bible lies, and so do the fathers of the church. Biblical flood of Noah never happened. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, fiction. Error number 57. The church has shown that she is hostile to the progress of the natural and theological sciences. Now, this gets at the heart of actually some of the abuse scandal we've been seeing. Because the church is hostile to the progress of natural science. So in the 1960s and 70s, when modern psychology was telling the bishops how to deal with homosexual, sexually abusive priests, the bishops listened. This is what to do. Oh, your priest is homosexual, your priest has been abusing children. Send him to this rehab center for therapy and then put him back into a parish. That's what modern psychologists say. He's rehabilitated. You don't want to be on the wrong side of science, do you? The wrong side of progress? You don't want to be like those ignorant, backwards medieval Catholics? Error number 64, scientific progress demands that concepts of Christian doctrine concerning God, creation, revelation, the person of the incarnate word, and redemption be re-evaluated and readjusted. This is what we know as evolution of dogma. Religion can mean whatever we want it to mean. The stances, the positions on abortion, birth control, homosexual marriage, these are all subject to change. Catholics who oppose such change, who adhere to old beliefs, are rigid and intolerant. Get with the times. Error number 65. Modern Catholicism can be reconciled with true science only if it is transformed into a non-dogmatic Christianity. That is to say, into a broad and liberal Protestantism. And this final error is at the heart of modernism. It's all about the destruction of the Catholic Church, turning the Catholic Church into a Protestant church. And this is it. This explains so much of what we have been seeing in the church for the past decades. It's not that Catholic bishops and priests have been destroying the church because they're not Catholic. It's Protestant bishops and priests. It's atheist bishops and priests. It's whatever. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in holy orders. They don't believe in grace, the sacraments, heaven and hell. These are all fictions. These are all projections of medieval man onto the historical Jesus. It's man's idea of God, whatever that may be. We are the ones. We faithful Catholics, we are the idiots. We are the ones that the modernists are saving. There was a priest who related a story about one of his own seminary professors in the 1980s. And so this is a professor in a seminary teaching priests or teaching men who are going to become our priests. And this professor said, Martin Luther had the right idea, but went about it the wrong way. He left the church. This time it's going to work, because we're not leaving. And that's it. Modernism is an attack from the inside. It's an attack by those of our own. So we will see tomorrow what this means. Consider this more in depth. What are the errors of the modernist? What did they allow to happen? Because the damage is not even direct. Even if you may not have a priest who is a modernist or a bishop who is a modernist, they're affected by it, and that has consequences. And Satan uses whatever he can in whatever way possible to bring down the church. And so we'll see some of the effects of modernism and how it has led to our current crisis tomorrow. God bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.